It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Frisk. Deadline Day, presented by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka. We are at McGurk's in Horsham. Devin Caney is with us at the at the deadline desk with updates. We just got the update about 10 minutes ago. The Yankees traded for David Bednar.
Yep. Padres made a trade.
They did.
Uh-oh. Who
they
the
pod?
Uh-oh.
Jack, maybe you can elaborate on this person. Padres acquiring catcher Freddie Freeman, mm-hmm. not to be confused with Freddie Freeman, from the Kansas City Royals for right-hander Ryan Burgert.
So he's not their starting catcher, is he?
No, I think
yeah,
they
I
have,
don't think so.
They
have,
well, they do it by rotation.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
They're not like us. Did any Cleveland reporters DM you?
Yeah.
With any Quan updates?
Yeah.
I have not gotten any DMs from Cleveland reporters yet.
Come on.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm hopeful, but I'm not optimistic about Quan. Yeah. What I've heard is that they want a hefty haul, and that includes Andrew Painter. So unless they're willing to part with Painter, which I don't think they are, Quan is not going to be a Philly.
Man.
I think he's going to go to the Dodgers, unfortunately.
But what pisses me off about that... Is that, like, it's always... The Dodgers have good prospects, but they get overhyped by the media. Like, it's going to be, like, Dalton Rushing, who's this catching prospect, who's fine. But he's not, like, I would rather have, again, if I was them, I'd rather have Aiden and Arun Escobar than I would their prospects.
This is a deep question. Is that a PR problem, or is it they're the Dodgers, so everybody they have? Because I think happens with the Yankees, too.
I think people just trust them. You know what I mean? It's like I think they trust that their prospects are better than other teams' prospects.
And that's something the Phillies have to, I imagine, yeah. over time.
Which prospect of the Phillies have ever turned out to be...
It's been a while.
Well, Hoppy's an all right player. Ben Brown's a major
leaguer. Mickey Moniak has 15 home runs.
Mickey Moniak could be third on the team in home runs.
Yeah.
Could Moniak be
ahead of Bryce?
Now, could Moniak be on this team and also play in Colorado where he can hit 15 home runs, where he is hitting 15 home runs?
Not advocating for bringing him back. Just saying.
Jim Salisbury will join us soon. He was stuck a little bit in the storms on the way over. And
it was pouring.
We wanted Jim to be safe on his way over here.
Correct.
So, Phil, so far, you know about the Duran trade. They also traded for Harrison Bader today. Before we get back to the phones, and we are insisting as a show that the Phillies go get Steve Kwan. Find a way to do it without Painter, I guess. You know what would be hard for me? Because I'm bad in auctions because I don't like to get beat in auctions. And I end up overpaying whatever. It's very easy to sit here and not give up Andrew Painter. What's very difficult is the other team on the other end of the phone saying, give us Andrew Painter and you can have Steven Kwan. And look at all Steven Kwan is and look at the team that you have here. To me, it shows a remarkable amount of restraint to them for them not to do it because
yeah.
the opportunity to upgrade. Yes, patience. Now, yeah. the patience only, I would only give them credit for patience if it works out without Painter.
Well, yeah, but that's what happened, at least from what I've heard with Duran, is they waited.
Yep.
And they like to be the team that has the final offer because the Twins ended up bringing their price down when it came to Duran. I think they're hoping that happens with a guy like Kwan. I just don't think that it's going to because I don't think that they're going to have to bring the price down. So the Dodgers are probably going to give them what they want. And the Phillies aren't.
Makes me uncomfortable, Steven Kwan. I would love to have Steven Kwan. Before we get back to the phones, I want to talk a little bit about the bullpen and how Duran changes the complexion of the bullpen. They did say that Duran will be the closer. Now, that is the first time in a while we have a set closer. Now, Jack, you think Kirkering, uh-huh. or is it situational Kirkering versus Strom, or do you think Kirkering is the sort of second-in-line, high-leverage guy?
Yeah, I think he's second-in-line, but let's say the inning starts off with Soto.
Right.
Then I think then it goes strong.
Okay.
But I think Kirkering is the second on the trust order, you know, the pecking order.
So, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
Are we telling me that there's no way Duran is pitching in the seventh, eighth inning?
That's the question I
think there's a way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
when the high leverage situation comes up, he's still the first one.
But I think he's here to close out baseball games. But if it's clear the pocket of the lineup is like the best and you're in a playoff game, I think they would go to him in the eighth. Yeah, I think they go to him in the seventh.
I don't think they will do it in the regular season.
Right.
I think they would do it in the playoffs.
I think the most important outs. Like, listen, I think.
In other words, I'm saying use him like you've been using everybody else, and don't just limit yourself to just the ninth inning.
Yeah, so I agree with you. I think it's gonna be hard for Rob to sit there and say, hold on.
I got this
in the
dude.
Ninth. I'm gonna get 7, 8, 9 with Duran. but the middle of the order is up in the eighth. Why right. wouldn't I just use him here? I right. think that's going to be tough. I agree with you. Okay. I think it's going to be okay. tough for him to be like, no. He's our set closer. Because Durant has – I watched a lot of Durant highlights last night.
I can imagine, yeah.
And he did. He was pitching in the seventh and eighth
okay.
for the Twins this year. Now, that's because the Twins have not been that great, so maybe they had to
There's
use him
There's not early. A lot of save opportunities for the
yeah,
Twins.
Yeah, and they were probably trying to keep the game close to the – whatever. But I would be surprised if all of a sudden they're just like, all right, Durant is only getting the ninth inning.
I bet.
And the only reason why I said that is because I would trust him more than I would any of our guys we have on the roster
in the
right
eighth
now.
Inning against
yeah,
the core of a lineup.
Of course, yes.
I think there is a difference between a regular season game and a playoff game.
A meaningful game. Yeah.
I think to my gut would be to a large extent they will keep him in the ninth inning for a normal regular season game that doesn't have big implications.
Okay.
You know, maybe
okay.
the last week of the season.
Right.
That would be my gut that they want him to be the ninth inning guy. I do think there is something to the other team knowing that you have a shutdown ninth inning guy, regardless of who is coming
ahead,
up.
Right?
Yeah, like I think it puts a pressure on the team that you're facing in the seventh and eighth inning. Like, I think it could even cause them to press, knowing that yeah. you have a lockdown. And I think it could, by the way, I think it can make the other guys better. I think that is why, you know, some guys are able to thrive. You know, Ryan Madsen, able mm-hmm. to thrive in a setup role and not necessarily thrive in a closer
right.
role. You know, so.
Okay. Well, and especially in Kirkring's case. Because I think yes. Kirkring, I mostly trust him, but we've also seen him have his lapses, and we've seen him in the postseason as well. Now, I won't totally hold 23 against him because he's a rookie and he jumped five levels in 1 year. But, you know, there has been times where it's like, can I trust him to get the biggest outs of a baseball game? And I think that going out and paying the price they got for Durant tells me that I don't know if they trust that yet, and they would feel much more comfortable with him in the seventh and eighth.
I'll tell you what. I like that Kirkering is going to see a guy in
oh, yeah.
the, with some stones.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like the guy goes in there with that attitude, with the intro song. You know, like they had a really good bullpen last year, but there was nobody that was intimidating like
right.
that. There's nobody that has the cachet that Durant has.
Right.
And I think it'll be good for Kirkering to see this is what somebody who handles pressure like that looks like. And this is the attitude that he brings, is that, because Kirkering's stuff is as good as anybody. Mm-hmm. Kirkering has great stuff. He could be a great pitcher if the attitude, I think, matches the stuff.
Is Alvarado on his last year?
I think they have an option with him for next year.
I'm just thinking about having both of them in the bullpen.
Yeah, let's get to the arbitration real quick.
Well, the other thing is, without a PED Alvarado,
sure,
we've seen two different Alvarados.
But, man, imagine if he was here.
One on diet pills.
a guy can't lose a little weight.
Yeah, that's all it was. This is diet pills. By the way, coming up at the end of the...
It's a club option for $9 million next year.
Right? Okay.
Okay.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, you know, we had a gentleman sing a Philly song on the air 2 days ago.
It was the tune of Take Me Out of the Ball Game, right?
Yes, but as that is... what was I going to say? That's public domain, so he's allowed to do it.
Oh, okay. Great.
He has shown up to sing the song in person, and he has distributed at McGurk's instructions... on dancing that he would like to happen with the song.
That's right.
So that will happen here. I'm refusing to not have that happen. That will happen. There's Jim Salisbury. Jim Salisbury joins us in a moment. Bill in Marlton, you're on WIP. What's up, Bill?
Hey, guys. Yeah, so just like you guys were speaking about, like, how Duran in the bullpen will help, but the other pitchers may make them better. I actually feel like a bat would be so important for our team, even on our offense. I think it's so important for us to get another bat before the deadline's up, because I just think postseason pitching, as our lineup is right now, there's just not enough there. There's enough guys that they could say, we can pitch around this guy, and we're not as scared as that other guy. I think a guy like Castellanos, if there's more weapons in the lineup, they're going to have to throw him more pitches. It'll actually make him better even.
Yeah, well, Bill, it changes. I agree. Thank you for the call. It changes the entire complexion of the lineup. But like one guy putting everybody back one spot, all of a sudden you don't have the dead zone that you have. You know, a lot of times we look at the Phillies lineup, especially with Bohm not in there, and 6 through 9, you're crossing your fingers. You know, you have JT hitting cleanup or Castellanos hitting cleanup. You know, all of a sudden, you have Kyle Schwarber hitting cleanup, and Bryce, if you trade for a guy like Kwan. So joining us now, Jim Salisbury, Phillies Show podcast. stuck in the storm and glad you got here safely, Jim.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. The turnpike was a mess.
Yeah, but glad you got here. Now, before we get, we got to get to the important stuff with you before we get to the Phils. You did catch, you did see a little of Jack Fritz before his showdown with the camera.
The catch heard around the world.
Yeah, and, you know, Jack basically threw a perfect game. Eight up, eight down, five strikeouts. Your reaction to that, were you proud of Jack? Were you surprised that he came through in the way that he did?
I wasn't surprised. He's got good arm. He's got good arm strength. And I could tell, by the way, the ball was hitting my glove. It was plenty heavy. And I just figured if he threw strikes that he'd have some success. And apparently he threw strikes. But
well, the last time we threw, Jim, I was not throwing strikes.
Yeah, you threw enough. I think you were around the zone enough. But the tennis competition and the complete wuss out.
Oh, dude. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, a station decision?
It's not a station decision.
A station decision.
Out of my hand.
Out of control. Insulting, I believe, to the people who are outside every day.
Soapbox
mic. Working, you know, or
doing the, real jobs.
Doing real jobs.
Yeah. They hours.
They can't play a half hour of recreational tennis.
Yeah, you want to be out there sweating. It keeps you loose, and all of a sudden
exactly.
I hear they didn't play.
Not to mention, I didn't hear any reports of anybody dying Tuesday around the city.
Oh, you're going to get a tweet. I'm sure you're going to get a tweet of somebody that died.
Sorry, I'm just saying.
Certainly way to cover
your
tracks.
There were plenty of people. I'm just saying, there were plenty of people out in the weather that day for hours.
Yes. I told Jack I was working out. I was running, doing push-ups.
Here's what I do know.
80-year-old Al Morgani played tennis.
Half the city's populated and didn't die off Tuesday.
No. So
can we get it back to the Phils?
All right. Yeah. So here we are. Phils have made two trades. They trade for Duran. They trade for Harrison Bader. The question to you, Jim Salisbury, is a two-part question. One, do you think they're done? Two, is what they've done enough, especially in the context of what everyone else has done?
Well, it's enough if their core guys, you know, their big $1 million, $100 million, $300 million players produce. I mean, there's great track records and resumes in that lineup, and they need those guys to be more consistent. There's a lot there, but we've seen a lot of inconsistency. I mean, they're 25-25 since June 1. I mean, they need to be better than that. I just think the existing core offensively needs to pick it up and have a mad dash and to the finish line and produce in October. I love the move that they made for the closer. I think it was a gaping, glaring hole. I think it was their number one need. Superseding the need for offense, and they went out and got maybe the best closer available, one of the very best in baseball, a dominating guy. I mean, a big, intimidating physical presence who can fire and can move that ball around and has kind of been there, done that. He's got a little bit of postseason experience, but I think he's hungry for more, and I think he's a real difference maker, and it's going to take pressure off a guy like Kirkland, who's pitched well and improve this year, and it's going to take pressure off everybody else and slot them down. So I love that move. To me, that's a move that a team trying to win the World Series makes. You part with a couple of really good prospects. I mean, I'm a Mick Abel fan. Starting pitching is a great commodity in this game. It's very valuable, and I think that kid's going to be a major league starting pitcher. I don't know if he's going to be a 3 or a 4, but I think he's going to take the ball every day, every fifth day for a lot of years. There's value to that. Tait is a good-looking hitter, but he's far away, and that would not hold up a deal for me. So I think the bullpen really cost them the last two Octobers. We tend to focus on the offense letting them down. The bullpen, they struggled, and they gave up some leads and gave up some games. I mean, I think about game one last year. If they have a lockdown bullpen, that whole series might be different against the Mets. So I just love the acquisition of Duran. He keeps the ball on the ground, doesn't give up home runs, and he's got electric stuff. What else do you want me to say? Bader is, to me, just a very marginal move. I'm kind of wondering how he fits in. I guess initially maybe a platoon center fielder, but eventually maybe your everyday center fielder or your everyday left fielder. I wonder if something else is coming here as we count it down, because I think they could move an outfielder. And that would open up a spot for that might reveal more of a plan for what they want to do with Bader. So I kind of got my eye on that, whether they can move one of their existing outfielders.
Interesting. I hadn't thought of that. Move one of their existing outfielders would that be Marsh or would
Casty.
It be Rojas? Or Casty would be, anybody who's willing to take on that
right.
money, that's another conversation too.
Right. I mean, they've tried to move him annually.
Yeah.
So, no, I think maybe a guy like Kepler, if they can find a taker.
No. if you need me to make some calls, I'll make some calls.
Marsh or Kepler, yeah. I wonder if one of those two guys could be on the move here. So it just seems like that ball remains in the air.
So here's the thing you brought up earlier about the lineup needing to produce, given that they are, veteran players getting paid a lot of money, so on and so forth. I agree. However, at a certain point, when they are as sort of hot and cold as they are, and you're the one that signed them, like you're it's not Dave Dombrowski signed all of them, but it's one thing to say, well, those guys are getting paid a lot of money, they need to produce, and another thing to say, we're the ones that gave them a lot of money, and they're not always producing in the way that they can, and are we going to go down with the ship saying, well, our good guys didn't produce, when you know, based on the last couple of years, that they have in important times not produced. You see what I'm saying? I agree with you. I want to put pressure on those guys, but then I come back and I'm like, well, how many of those guys do I really have honest faith that in the playoffs that they're going to produce? And I think it's an interesting question because you can double down on they're good enough to win, but if they're not, then ultimately it's whoever put them together who is responsible for them not winning too.
Sure, that's the way pro sports exists. I mean, even when you're running a ball game, you make a decision, you're putting your faith in the athlete to deliver. You assemble a roster, you're putting your faith in the athletes to deliver. There's been plenty of examples over the years where general managers have built teams and the team didn't perform. I do think they would love to augment that offense a little more than a Harrison Bader, but it comes down to matching up. It comes down to what is available in terms of talent that's going to move the needle. To get a guy like Gino Suarez, you're going to have to part with, significant pieces. And a guy like Kwan, who's a really interesting guy, dynamic player. I mean, that you have him and Turner up top. Now all of a sudden you could move Schwarber back behind Harper, and that would really offer protection for him. But everything I hear is that they have indeed pursued that. I mean, why wouldn't you? He's that dynamic of a player, and you have control over him. It's just that, from what I hear, there's just not a matchup there. And that tells me that Cleveland wants Andrew Painter, and I think Dave Dombrowski was quite firm last night. They're not trading Andrew Painter.
Okay, so, Jim, I don't think you were thinking that you're going to experience what you're about to experience when you showed up today.
Uh-oh. I still have time to leave.
No.
No, you're not going anywhere.
Now, we have a gentleman. He's going to come up next to you. He is safe, I believe.
Watch out for the conscious guy.
He looks menacing.
Hey, yeah. What is this?
Wait till we see.
So, he has words?
So,
oh, it's a sing-along.
Yeah,
he has choreography.
Yes. Like. So he has called the show a couple of times and sung a Philly song to the tune of Take Me Out to the Ball Game, which is public domain, he has reminded us, is allowed to do it.
What are these, the lyrics?
No, not just the lyrics. The choreography to go along with the lyrics. And he has handed out sheets with the choreography
to everybody.
Now, I told him.
What a moment.
What's the conch for?
I don't know what to get everyone's attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though we're on the radio.
He's going to go.
It's broadcasting.
Yeah. There it is.
This is YouTube content.
Yeah. So
get to YouTube.
Yeah, get to YouTube right now to see this. So he has handed out the choreography. Now I told him, I said to him, no one's going to do the choreography. And he said, I'm handing it out anyway. So are you prepared? First of all, would you like your name and where you're from?
What's your name?
So I'm Leon, talking to the
speaking
mic.
Into the mic.
I'm Dr. Leon Rosenberg. I'm a psychiatrist from Cherry Hill.
Yep.
Did you say doctor?
Doc Leon.
Yep.
I'm interested in fan engagement, fan enthusiasm.
Yep.
I have a patent working on fan affecting the outcome of the game, but I was inspired by Jack Fritz
when
I heard that he had Trey Turner to turn around.
Right? Yeah.
By myself.
And there's a great team here.
Allegedly.
Mike Spike and Fritz.
Allegedly he did that.
Yep.
So I was at a game. And I just think we can have more fan engagement.
Okay.
And so I wrote this song, been inspired, about 100 different editions of it. And so I'm going to teach it with the choreography and have Jack's help.
Yep. Now, let me make sure it's not too hot for Jack.
Yes. Yeah, now, let me say this, Dr. Le- I am encouraging everyone to give their undivided attention to Dr. Leon here. And do not feel shame. If you want to do the choreography, do the choreography. I am not. But anyone who does the choreography is going to get a lot of love from me. Not physical, but, you know, so deep in my heart.
I'm going through the choreography right now.
Yeah. The Philly team, Middleton said that if I get enough enthusiasm, they'll bring it to the stadium.
He said that?
Yep.
No all way.
Right. All right.
Yes way.
Okay. So are you ready?
Yeah. So the first verse is, it's baseball time.
Well, no, hold on. You got to sing it.
Well, I want to teach the choreography.
No.
Because
no.
I need Jack to show how to, how to pitch the ball.
The choreography is right there on the sheet with the words. We're not going through it step by step.
So everybody stand up.
Everybody stand up. I haven't worked with Spike before.
Everybody stand up with me.
Look. All right, there we go. Okay. We got one.
Let's go.
We got two. There we go.
All right.
Here you got three. We got four.
Can I disconnect this? Can I disconnect this?
Do whatever you got to do.
No. You just got to sing with it there.
We're burning daylight, Doc.
Yeah, come on.
Get to it, Doc.
Yo, it's baseball time with the Phillies.
Pitch the ball.
Best team and best fans of all. We'll eat ice cream, join pretzels and Cracker Jack, and cheer our fighting Phils as they each swing their bat. We are the P-H-I-L-L-I-E-S. We'll hit, run, defend, and score. Hey, yos, it's 1, 2, three strikes, you're out, and we'll scream four more. Yeah!
Take that, Eagles chant.
There it is. Well done, Doc Leon.
Thank you.
Well done. All right.
Welcome to the show, Jim.
I just want to know, was that great or great?
Great.
It was the greatest.
That was awesome.
Great.
All right. Man, awesome. I loved my job so much.
That was awesome.
This is deadline day.
I done lost my reeds. Hold up, buddy.
I think they're going to get Stephen Kwan now.
Yes.
If that news broke during that performance, I would have waited.
I'll tell you what. We get Stephen Kwan. He's singing it again, and I'm doing the choreography.
I'll join you. Stephen
Kwan. Deadline day presented by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka. We are at McGurk's in Horsham.
Take this damn seashell.
This is the WIP.
It's a conch.
WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.